Nail Ashraf was so diplomatic, courteous and kind and considerate enough not to mention the whole list of accusations that I have been posed with in the Western and the British media. I don't have much opportunities like this one to come and face, be before an audience like yourself. So I should like to extend the greetings and the thanks, my deep gratitude to those who make this possible. I mean the Stop the War Coalition, and for every one of you for taking the pain of coming here and listening to me. So I want to make use of this opportunity, not that I'm utilitarian, but I want to exploit this minute, because it's not every day that in this city you meet a terrorist, anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish, coming to your country and talking and giving the chance to talk. This is what is being talked about me, and I start with this just to come and say we are all mature enough, intelligent enough, not to be told what to listen to or who to listen to. I'll make you the judge now, and I want you to think, to reflect over this a little after you hear it, because I mean, it's not only a physical war, it's not only airplanes, it's not only bombs that are being dropped upon us. I believe they were able to do what they did and continue to do what they can do because they have been successful for a long time with their war of propaganda and with poisoning the minds of the people and making them think of a different way. Now, if you want a vivid and lively example about what I'm saying, the Middle East is all in fire. Iraq is under occupation, Afghanistan, Iran is being threatened to be invaded or to be bombarded, part of Lebanon is still occupied, and above all, the root cause of all of this problem is the occupation of Palestine. Palestine, remember this name. What's happening is in few months, on the 15th of May, 2008, Israel is going to celebrate its 60th anniversary. George W. Bush is going to come. Miracle of Germany is going to come. I don't know if Gordon Brown is going to make it, but Nicolas Sarkozy of France is going to go as well. They want to give a gift, so one of the gifts that they received is Israel is a Jewish state as being guaranteed and enshrined by George W. Bush. And what's happening in Gaza now, 40 people, almost 40 people have been killed in 2-3 days. 1/3 of them are children with the high-tech weaponry that are being supplied to Israel by the United States of America. And we ask, where is the international community? They didn't want anyone to look for what's happening in Gaza. You know what they did in the same time? They sent 3 warships to the coastal side of Lebanon. The destroyer Cole is there, and 2 other frigates came to Lebanon to threaten who? The people of Lebanon. To come back to the core issue, it's the definition. We have to revisit all of the things that they are talking about. They say, I am anti-Semitic, and the people in Lebanon, and the Hezbollah, and the Islamists are anti-Semitic. Let me tell you one simple thing, and if anyone of you deals with history, they'll know that. We are Semites. We are the sons of Sam ourselves. We cannot be against ourselves. This is one thing. So when they say this, don't listen to them. Actually, Jimmy Carter, when he wrote his book recently, he has been depicted as anti-Semitic. If you want to criticize Israel for the aggression and the occupation and the massacres and the children killing, then you are anti-Semitic. How come? How come? The other thing about extremism, I'll tell you what I do. I have always been into academia and academia. And I don't want now to take it into a personal level and talk how many degrees I've got or whatever, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm a graduate of Birmingham University. PhD dissertation on political science and political Islam, and the theme of this dissertation is the compatibility between Islam and democracy. Yes, we believe in democracy. Yes, we love the West, not the so-called Western civilization that Bush represents, but the genuine things about the Western civilization. We embrace all the features, the good aspects of democracy, and we are being told and educated that you have to look for the good and the good things without looking who brought them. You have to thank people and you have to look for wisdom wherever it comes. That's why we believe in democracy, we respect and value highly the freedom of speech, that they don't allow apparently people to come and talk about it when it comes to criticizing them. We came to the West, I studied here because I wanted really to understand what's there, because I want to have this cross-cultural relation. We all, and this is a specimen about how we think. Does this sound to you as extremist? Does this sound to you as anti-Semitic? Does this sound to you as terrorist act? I only work with words. It's a war of words, and it's not violent, and it's not insulting. We only want to bring awareness to the people. The message that I came from Lebanon, and I brought with me from Lebanon, is that we have to understand very well how to differentiate between the different terminology and expressions that are being tossed daily, the kind of systematic brainwash that they try to do through their war of propaganda and distortion of the history and of the events and everything that is taking place. We in Lebanon, I am the chief editor of a weekly paper that is associated with Hezbollah, with all pride, and I'm proud of that. What is Hezbollah? Hezbollah is a resistance movement. They tell you they are a terrorist organization. I want you to pick up with people who had experience to go to Lebanon. Thanks God, yesterday when I was in Bristol, a lady came after my lecture, after my speech, and she said, I've been to Lebanon in 1995. And I was able to witness and see things for myself. When you talk about Hezbollah, this is what she said. And she supported me with everything that I said. And now here, I quote her. Yes, I genuinely believe and agree with every word that I said, that Hezbollah has a huge social network to support the people, the elderly, the poor, the educational centers, the schools, the hospitals, educational centers for the peasants, helping the elderly, those who have no shelter, those who have no food, those who have no access to medication. This is what they do, and what they do, and also they fight the Israeli occupation. They didn't go and occupy any people's land. They didn't go and steal any people's water or any people's soil, because in South Lebanon, we all know, you have a lot of water, and the next wars and the future wars in the region is about waters. Everybody knows that. So this is the scarce commodity that wars will be launched in order to capture and in order to control. The Israelis have been stealing our water, and they didn't allow even the Lebanese government to build dams in order to make use of the Lebanese water. This is a well-established fact that you can visit and see even in the websites. This is what they do. They fight the occupation, they want to protect themselves, and they want to liberate their country. In the year 2006, Israel has launched a large-scale offensive against Lebanon. Why? Because we have these double standards, we have this blindness of the international community. Yes, in the year 2000, Hezbollah and the resistance movements were able to successfully liberate most parts of Lebanon. Yes, there has been a genuine victory, a divine victory in 2000. But yet, the biggest and the most important victory took place in the year 2006. Some parts of Lebanon are still under occupation, the Shiba farms, the hills of Kafar Shuba, and we have our Lebanese citizens who are still held hostages in the Israeli prisons for more than 28 years. Hezbollah came publicly and said, if you are not going to set them free, we are going to carry operation against your military personnel, against the occupation forces, and we will arrest them in order to make a swap. Hezbollah carried many operations, and many people, many Hezbollah fighters were killed in these operations. They did not succeed. Two or three operations. The last one was in the 12th of July 2006, when Hezbollah successfully arrested two Israeli soldiers. Hezbollah leadership came directly to hold a press conference and to say two things. This is a limited operation in time and space. We don't want to destabilize the situation, to escalate it. We want only to make a swap. Indirect negotiations, swap, everything is ended. How did the Israelis respond? They